Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price. So you need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you get to see what other people in your local market are paying for the car that you want. From there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience because TrueCar will help you easily find the car that you want. And TrueCar will show you what other people in your area are paying for the car that you want. Now you'll know what a fair price is so you too can feel confident. Once you register, you see pricing on the actual inventory, competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing that you get to see before you go to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick car buying experience of one of the over 700,000 new and used cars available from TrueCar. TrueCar's customers are more likely to enjoy a faster car buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with David Bloomberg to talk about why the latest two Survivor players lost, Haley and Ozzy. David, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Very excited to get into talking about why two players lost at the Survivor Merge. Licking my wounds over here as yet another winner pick bites the dust, David.
Yeah, well, join the crew.
Yeah.
we're on even footing now.
And I told Nicole, hey, just so you know, your winner pick went out. She's like, yeah, but yours went out too. I said, yeah, but yours went out first.
And how did she take that?
David, if you think my wife is very invested in the outcome of her winner picks, that's one of the reasons why it's so frustrating when she gets one right. That's really like, who cares?
Well, I didn't think necessarily she would be invested in the outcome of her winner picks, but she might be more invested in beating you.
She changes the rules as she goes along. It's like, it's like, well, yeah, but you still make a mess in the kitchen. You know, it'll be like, but what does that have to do with anything? So, you know, you really cannot ever win.
Well, yeah, sometimes you can win. Now, maybe not in those situations, but do you remember that tribal council where Sandra was voted out?
I remember it very well, David.
Okay, so maybe you remember that I theorized and presented evidence that it was all an act and Ty was never going to switch, and you and others, you poo-pooed that idea.
Yes.
And then you talked to Ozzy, and you know, thank you for asking Ozzy in your interview about that tribal council because, well, you know, we got news, and that news said, go ahead and play the soundbite.
David, that, okay.
David, you're right! David, you're right!
You know, that I have to give you a lot of credit, David, because many people would not have the strength of character to go through with gloating about one thing on Twitter, on Facebook, and then also a third time about the same thing, even on the podcast, when most people probably may not even know what you're talking about at this point. So I have to give you so much credit for having the confidence to come out with that.
Well, you know, I want to make sure to catch the entire audience. You know, some people on Twitter might not hear it on the podcast, or more likely more people on the podcast might not have seen on Twitter. So I just want to make sure everybody knows.
Well, it would be great, though, if you framed it up as like, hey, remember this thing we were talking about, and explain to people what you're even referencing instead of like the top story is, hey, just so you know, I was right.
You're saying that isn't the top story?
David, that I think that people are probably not everybody was hanging on your every word on this podcast and remembers it for weeks at a time that you had said that you thought Ozzy and Ty were in cahoots at the tribal council where Sandra went home. I said I did not think that that was the case, as evidenced by even the following week, they started with Ty talking in confessional, saying, yeah, I get so confused at tribal council. I don't know what's going on. And you were saying that you had correctly picked up on Twitter that there were a lot of people from that tribal council favoriting tweets about how I wonder if they were all working together.
That's right. That's right. See, you've done a great job summarizing it there.
Yes. So now we can all be on the same page.
That's right. And then also patron Noah Naiman. I hope I didn't totally mangle her name there. You know, also said that Andrea had discussed it publicly a week or so ago. And then most recently, after our little Twitter exchange, Ty confirmed it by replying to me and saying it was so hard not to say anything about it until now.
Right.
But yeah, at the time, I even thought last week, now obviously we weren't really going to discuss it last week given everything else that went on, but at the beginning of last week's episode, yeah, they had Ty saying that, but they also didn't show them all like screaming at him or anything, which I think it would have been if it hadn't been pre-planned. And the way those interviews were cut, I thought at the time, was weird. And it just seemed to me, and I even had live tweeted at the time saying, you know, I still think it was planned that these confessionals are not changing my mind just because of the weird way they're cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the editors had some work to do to make it look like things were more heated there than they really were.
Yeah, and I'll say that I think that this is a time where I think the show did not do justice to the viewers, because if something was a decoy plan and then that's sort of like presented as that's what the real plan was, I understand in sort of like the moment in the Sandra episode that you want to keep everything sort of like really tense and you don't know what's going to happen. But then to come back the next week and sort of still not acknowledge that we were thrown off because we were being shown the fake plan, I feel like that that's not really in the spirit of trying to follow the game. And I feel like that they should try to avoid that wherever possible.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been much nicer to come back and show them high-fiving each other or something and, you know, saying, yeah, we really pulled off that act or something like that, so that we would know going forward, oh, you know, Ozzy is not out to get Ty, or Ty is not out to get Ozzy, or at least wasn't. And because, like you said, on the episode itself, sure, you can't make it totally obvious that Sandra is going, because it takes away some of the suspense, or all of the suspense in that case. But you're right. It should have been in the beginning of the following episode, I think.
And or in the previously on that it was a decoy or something like that. But it just, to me, really even changes the way that I perceive Ty as a player, where I came out of that episode saying, like, oh, my God, Ty again has one of these incidents at a tribal council that I don't see how Ty has improved at all from Ko Rong. And now I sort of look at what he's done in this game, and now I sort of have a much different opinion of him in terms of how he's being perceived. So it really does change a lot of things moving forward. But let's get back to what's happened since the merge. Haley and Ozzy out back to back. David, do you have anything you want to do to set up that conversation in terms of why they lost? Because I'll tell you what, Haley Ford was actually pretty confused about why it was her that went out. Here's what she said after she got voted out, David.
I'm just thankful to be on the jury and still be a part of the game. I don't know what I did wrong. For whatever reason, I'm out and they're still in, so power to them.
She doesn't know what she did wrong, David.
Well, I'm sure she will be listening to this podcast. To
Surely.
out.
Sure, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I do want to say, since you know, we started off the podcast with me patting myself on the back, I finally got a prediction right this season for who, you know, would get knocked out, because I said Ozzy wouldn't make it through the 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So got that one right. Finally. Okay. First one all season, I think. I have to say, though, that tribal council leading up to it, there was just some weird stuff going on there. And I'm not sure what some of these people are thinking at this point. I do think it was pretty funny when they were reading the votes, Ozzy, Zeke, and then the last one goes to Ozzy, and Ozzy looks at Zeke, and Zeke just shrugs and goes, I don't know.
Yeah. Neither one of them knew what was going on at that tribal council.
No.
Okay.
So, but I do think that despite Haley and Ozzy being two very, very different players, I think we'll find out one main reason for them being voted off overlaps. And I also think, and despite this being a combined Why Haley and Ozzy Lost podcast, we're going to spend a lot more time talking about Ozzy, I have a feeling, because we just didn't see much storyline about Haley. whereas Ozzy is a Survivor legend, and we have both this story and the backstory with him. But we'll figure that all out as we discuss why Haley and Ozzy lost.
Okay, David, let's talk about rule number one, to scheme and to plot. So I guess it seems a little more obvious with Ozzy than with Haley, but let's talk about how those two players did with your first rule.
Okay, well, I'll start with Haley. And I do think she changed her game somewhat in regards to this rule, coming in apparently a bit more active in terms of the scheming and plotting. Unfortunately for her, it wasn't enough of a change. I think she made some relationships on her original Mana tribe, but it's not really clear to me just how strong those bonds were, or if she would have done significantly better under maybe different swap circumstances. You know, I mean, that's all hypothetical. What actually did happen was, well, as Haley told Josh, she knew Nuku had a strong alliance, but she didn't realize how strong that alliance was until the merge. And she thought she could pull something together with Brad, Sierra, etc. But she came to realize that just was not going to happen. And she didn't have a whole lot of chemistry with those folks, by her own admission. The ones that she got along with best were already gone. I will say, though, at least Haley didn't just give up, according to what she told the various interviewers. Now, we didn't see it, but she was apparently running around talking to everyone the day of tribal council. It just seems that by that point, the die was cast. So what could she have done differently? Basically, I think maybe doing anything differently in that combined tribal council might have been better than what she ended up doing. And I think that's kind of the root of where her major problem started. If she had helped her original Mana tribe mates, she might have been able to change the tide there somehow. I know that doing so would have been a huge risk for her because she didn't want to become public enemy number one at that point with her own tribe. So then the other option would have been to throw in her lot completely with that new tribe. And, you know, to do that, she would have needed to see that her original allies were on a sinking ship and she just needed to swim out on her own. If she had gotten herself to a point where Brad and Sierra could trust her, well, then that might have been what saved her. Either way, one or other of those choices almost would have had to be better for her, but she chose the route of going over and whispering to her old tribe mates during that tribal council without actually passing along the most useful information. And so by doing that, it showed Brad and Sierra and company that she wasn't loyal to them because she was whispering with her old compatriots, and it didn't actually accomplish anything to help those old tribe mates. So I would say that was the worst of both worlds there.
Yeah, I think the problem for her really was that she made such big strides, I thought, in that Caleb Tribal Council, where she really painted herself as... I loved when she made the argument, like, yeah, I guess I do suck. Like, I guess I'm not a big player. But then she sort of undid the benefits of people saying, like, oh, we don't have to worry about her, when she did play the game a bit. And I think then there was no coming back for that. And I really downplayed it. Steven had been saying that he thought Brad and Sierra were out on her after that. And I was like, no, but I mean, no, that it all worked out. We didn't see them getting mad at her after the fact. But I do think that the damage was done. So for Haley, I think that the combined tribal council probably was a deal breaker for her.
Yeah, and it could have been that we just didn't see Brad and Sierra getting down on her because it didn't matter that much to them. You know, I think Haley even said something in her interviews, like, Sierra just thinks I don't know how to play, basically. Like, I'm a nothing out here. So that may have been why we didn't see them getting down on her, because it didn't matter enough to them to get down on her.
What about Ozzy in terms of his scheming and plotting?
Well, I want to take you back in time, 10.5 years, to December 2006.
Okay.
Ozzy had just lost his first season of Survivor, and I was interviewing him for Reality News Online. I said to him, what was your strategy coming into the game? And he replied, my strategy was basically to be the top provider and to let that sink in at an early stage in the game where, if there was any thought of voting me off, people would feel the pangs in the stomach and realize where their sustenance was coming from. Once you make it to the merge, it becomes individual, so you have to win the challenges. I probably screwed up a bit in my strategy and that I didn't do enough politicking and did too much fishing. That sounded all familiar to you. Like maybe we've heard it a lot more recently, too.
Yes, but maybe Ozzy forgot that he already thought that.
Yeah. Apparently he did, because even in a web confessional from this week's double episode, he said that one of the things that keeps him around post-merge is bringing in fish. He said it's an important skill, an asset, and a partial shield from going home.
Yeah, I will say this, though, that I can't fault Ozzy too much because even though I picked him to win, my advice to Ozzy before the season would have been Ozzy, like Jess, like be a fun guy who goes fishing. Like the first version of Ozzy, I thought was probably the most complete version of Ozzy with the best chance to win. I thought that when he tried to really take a leadership position at Savaii, it did not go well for him. And I thought if he could have just been seen as a likable person and then, you know, go on and win the challenges, I feel like that was his best shot this season.
Well, it might have been if it was his first season, but I think coming in with a reputation, you know, plus doing these other things, that does not really help. But we'll get to that. But going back to that original season, so my first article on why Ozzy lost, I noted that he didn't seem to understand the strategic aspects of the game, and the first rule at the time looked like it was written specifically for Ozzy because it said hunting and fishing are likely not very big issues, and then went on to say that the real survival issues in the game are scheming and plotting. At the time, I noted that there was a reason that there used to be a rule, providing food wins allies. Now, that was the seventh rule back in those days. And after that, within a few years, I removed that rule altogether.
Oh, my God. David, is the seventh rule cursed?
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
It never actually matters? The cursed rule.
It could be. So I added at the time, yeah, food is good, but providers had been voted off before and would be voted off again. And at the time, I just didn't realize when I said it that when I was talking about providers being voted off again, yeah, I was talking about Ozzy himself in a later season. You know, I like your theory from the Tyson cap that Ozzy just likes to fish. But I think the reality is he still just doesn't get it.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody ever accused Ozzy of having the best handle on the social dynamics of the game of Survivor. So I think that we have to remember these players need to stay within themselves. Like we were saying to Ozzy, like, no, don't be Ozzy. Be Kim Spradlin now. And, you know, it's just that he can only move so much to the left or the right in terms of the person that he is. So I think it's easy to point to Ozzy did too much fishing. But if you listen to the reasons why he got voted out, like it doesn't seem like if he could have been using that time to sort of like you really shore things up with Brad and Sierra. Yeah, that would have been more ideal. But it's a well-established fact that, you know, the bringing home fish is not going to give you immunity.
Right. And I mean, Brad and Sierra, that's exactly the next point I was going to make, which was he probably did do a little more strategizing this time than usual because he did align with Brad and Sierra right away, which is good. I think, you know, make those alliances right away. And he told Josh that he thought he had built up a pretty solid alliance before the merge. And had also said in a web confessional that he thought he had a solid foundation for the rest of the game. But then he spent a lot of time away from them after the swaps. And I'm not sure how much he reaffirmed that relationship after the merge. So that's a little unclear. Did he spend enough time going back to them and saying, hey, we're still good, right?
Right.
Or did he, you know, just go out fishing some more? Because he then just ended up pretty much blaming them. As he told Josh, that game changers don't have as much loyalty as he thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you can play this game as many times as he has and think any Survivor player would have loyalty, especially when in Micronesia, he was voted out primarily by someone who was a friend of his outside the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to complain about loyalty, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He said in his CBS interview that on the one hand, he's not sure there's anything he could have done. But then he also said he could have spent more time talking with Brad, Sierra, and even Debbie to keep them on his side. And so, yeah, exactly. You know, there it is right there. He's got it. But he's had it in the past, too. I mean, he had it when he was talking to me after his first loss. I think that Tyson laid out the facts the best. If you don't change your non-winning game, don't be surprised to not win. If, you know, fishing didn't win the first three times, it's not going to win the fourth time either.
Let's talk about rule number two. Don't scheme and plot too much. Okay. Where do you want to pick things up with Ozzie and Haley?
I don't think we really need to pick things up. I think we need to put them down because it's pretty clear that neither of them schemed and plotted too much.
Should the rule be don't fish too much?
Maybe. We might have to, you know, put a new rule 7 there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rule 7A.
Stop fishing.
We should make it like rule 7 should just be if you add a new rule, like how they have in buildings, they just skip the 13th floor and just go right to rule 8.
Rule 8, stop fishing.
Okay. So rule number 3 then is to be flexible. Let's talk about that and how it applies to these two players. You want to start with Haley?
You know, we've already talked about how Haley could have possibly been more flexible in the way she dealt with being in the extreme minority on her first swap tribe. But honestly, beyond that, I don't really have much more to say because we just didn't see that many opportunities for her to do anything different other than that combined tribal council. There wasn't really a place she could have been more flexible as far as I saw.
What about Ozzie and his flexibility?
He had those opportunities. He just didn't take them. You know, going back to when I wrote about why he lost Micronesia, I noted that he violated the main tenet of this rule, which is you cannot simply tie yourself to one alliance and hope that it survives. That's what he did then. That's what he did now. He had an alliance with Brad and Sierra. You know, we had talked about that, and that was that. He made his alliance, and then he went fishing. It didn't seem to matter that he had made other alliances with the likes of Zeke. He was just going to do what Brad and Sierra wanted, and from what we could tell, he assumed that would be enough, just like he assumed it would work in Micronesia, but it didn't either time.
One of these days, David.
Yeah.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it. He was physically flexible, not as flexible as Ty up on that pole.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to be as flexible as Ty.
Yeah. All right. Rule number 4, don't let your emotions control you. Do you want to start with Haley and her emotions?
I don't know that I have much to say here for either of them either. I don't think they had a problem here. Haley knew not to trust her former Dirty 30 cohort, Sierra.
I think that she was willing to trust Sierra. I think that it just turned out to be that Sierra was more not wanting to trust Haley.
Right, right. When I say willing, I meant more later on in the game. Like she wasn't going to assume, oh, yeah, the two, you know, she's with me just because we were on the season together. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she would have been willing, you know, to take a lifeline from anyone at this point. And you're right. Sierra just didn't give it to her. And like I said before, from Haley's interviews, it's clear Haley does not believe Sierra had a very high opinion of her ability to play Survivor.
Now, David, I'm surprised that you aren't getting into with your emotions. When I interviewed Haley and I talked to her about when Jeff presented the idea of if they think somebody has the idol, why doesn't a person just dump out their bag and you sort of strip down and say, look, I don't have the idol. What are you going to waste your votes on me? And I asked Haley why she didn't do that. And she said that she was angry at them.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, but I just don't think it would have changed anything. It's not like they voted against her because she was angry at them or that she did anything different because she was angry at them. She, I believe, could have dumped out her bag, stripped down to nothing, and said, look, I have no idol. And they'd have said, OK, good. That's very nice. We're still voting you mm-hmm. out. I just don't think that they were going to switch the vote at that point. Why take a risk? Why start all the whispering when you've got someone right there? In that case, it would have been literally standing naked before you. You know, just take them off to the chopping block.
What about Ozzie and his emotions? We've definitely seen Ozzie at times in his Survivor career be an emotional player. How did he do the fourth time out?
I think he controlled his emotions well. He made up with Ceree from, you know, their last time playing together. I didn't see anyone voting against him or saying, hey, let's get him out, because he had made an emotional decision. So, I just don't see that it contributed in any way to his loss, because there really was nothing there in terms of his emotions affecting his gameplay.
Rule number 5 is pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. Haley, was she pretending to be nice and being social enough for you?
I don't know if she was pretending or she just really is nice, but yeah, I think she was fine, and I think Ozzy was too. Again, I just didn't really see a problem with either of them in this regard. I think they were both probably well-liked enough, but not so loved as to make it threatening. It just, again, didn't really contribute.
All right, but that has to be a win, because I feel like that at the beginning of the season, I think that you were probably one of the people that critical of Ozzy's social game.
At the beginning of the season. Wow, I have to remember back that far.
Yeah, and I know certainly the first lady of podcasting was killing Ozzy in the pregame preview about how, he's not nice and he doesn't talk to people.
Yeah, nothing stands out to me as being particularly problematic. And even if it was that far back, certainly it was all water under the bridge by now.
Yeah. And if it was water under the bridge, Ozzy could have swam in it and caught dinner, David.
Absolutely.
Okay. Rule number 6, don't be too much of a threat. Probably more significant in Ozzy's case than Haley's.
Yeah. Yeah. Earlier I had said there was, a major point of overlap between the reasons Haley and Ozzy lost. And, we saw some points of intersection in their games already. This is not one of them. I would say, if anything, Haley was voted off because she was completely non-threatening.
Right.
Despite Sierra's claim that Haley might have an idol, she was the easy vote. Nobody in the majority was going to care if Haley's torch got snuffed.
Yeah. I wonder if it's almost like that if you're a survivor, you don't want to be a threat, but you should be like enough of a threat where it's not like people look at you and say like, oh, okay, we can totally get rid of this person and there'll be no blood on our hands at the merge.
Right, right. And I think we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But yeah, you're definitely correct about that one.
Okay. Ozzy, in terms of being a threat.
Obviously, very different story there. Back in my original Why Ozzy Lost, I noted even then that he was a huge threat. Of course, at that time, he managed to win immunity when it counted, and so it didn't work against him that time. But in Micronesia, I noted that there was no possible way Ozzy could have followed this rule short of an injury. And he told me at the time, there's not much I can do to persuade people I'm not as capable as they think. Yeah. Then when I wrote about why Ozzy lost South Pacific, I summed it up by simply saying Ozzy was voted out for one reason and one reason only. He was a major threat. Ozzy knew, had to know, he was a huge threat coming into the game.
Yeah.
And as you have been saying in podcasts this week, if you know that you're viewed as a huge threat and you're at an early individual immunity challenge, you either need to win or go out early. Coming in second place after a long battle is the worst thing.
Worst case scenario.
Right. Because everybody sees, oh, my gosh, he really is that good. He's always been that good. But now we have a chance because he didn't win this time.
Right.
In interviews this week, Ozzy said something very similar to what he told me after Micronesia, that there's just nothing he can do about the perception of him, and he just has to enjoy whatever time he gets to be out there. But there is something he could have done about it. And, one is, like I just said, don't come in second. The other is spend some time focusing on the strategic game instead of just trying to win challenges. Show that you've aged. Fake an injury. Any of these things could work, but he said in his CBS interview that he can't dumb down his performance in challenges. It's just not possible. Yes, Ozzy, it is possible. He just won't let himself do it.
I really think that his wiring just might be, hey, if CBS wants to pay me to go live on an island, like, I'll go do it. I'll do whatever I can to stay there as long as I want. And then I'll go to Ponderosa and hang out there for a while, but I'm not going to make it not be a fun experience and do anything different.
I mean, I guess you're right. And it goes back to, it goes back to a reminder that the reason for these rules is if you want to win.
Right.
You know, I used to get criticized. People would say, well, but that's not the reason this particular player was out there. Well, okay, that's fine. Then, you know, they or a fan of theirs shouldn't get upset when I explain the reasons they lost. These are for people who want to win, not just people who want to go have an experience.
And I feel like that in my interview with him, I feel like that really enforces that. I asked him, like, would you play a fifth time? And I expected him to say, you know what? I'm done. I can't win this game. He's like, look, if they'll pay for me to go out there, like, I'll go do it again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, depending how long it is, maybe he won't be able to do well in challenges and he'll be like Colby.
Yeah. Well, maybe like when he goes like on like his 30th time and he's like old and then he's still trying hard in the challenges, but he's sort of like toothless. And I mean that more figuratively than literally. Yeah. Then like, oh, he could get to the end. Like, oh, wow. What a scrappy old guy. Give that guy the money.
Yeah, I think, Tyson had tweeted something out about that he needs to stop fishing. And I said something to the effect of maybe he'll learn by the time he gets to Survivor, senior citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there we go. We're thinking along the same lines. Hey, here.
I mean, I've seen on the AARP magazines I pick up that fishing is a popular recreational activity for our nation's senior citizens.
Well, that's what I used to do with my grandfather when I would go visit him is we'd go fishing.
Yeah. He might just give it better at that or enjoy it more.
Yeah, of course, that wasn't spear fishing either. You know, that was standing on the bank with a fishing pole and a bobber. So.
Okay. David, let's get to cursed rule number 7, okay? So unless the dividing line between this happened in between hour 1 and hour 2, certainly there was one violation here this week. Vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Was Haley the last of the weak and Ozzy was the first of the strong?
Well, in theory, the Haley position should have been the first of the strong. And that's, you know, strong players who can win challenges or organize others.
Oh, so the people that are in the game, they broke that rule. So none of them can win.
That's right. That's right. They did break that rule. Sort of.
Well, actually, only the people that voted against Haley now can't win.
That's, yeah. That's right. Mark it down.
All those Michaela votes, they're still in the running.
Right, right. The heart of this rule and what will perhaps be changed going forward is, did the tribe vote the right way? It's not so much a rule for the player. It's a rule. Did the tribe vote the right way? And, you know, the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. That's the way that shows it. In this situation, obviously, Haley was not strong.
I do love Haley strong, though.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah. But this is not Haley strong. When Haley went out, she said it was a dumb move for a lot of the players. And my first thought was, yeah, it kind of was. But as I thought about it some more, I realized that there was actually a good reason behind the tribe making the choice. And that was something we had kind of touched on earlier. It was a non-move in that it was just easy. You have a merged tribe of 13 people. And when you have that kind of numbers, easy is much better. Just give it a moment for things to settle in and then start the moving and the shaking. But until that point, why worry about it? I mean, okay, maybe someone could have used Haley as a number later, but why take a risk to save someone who's just a maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Zeke noted it in a web confessional at this point in the game. He said, everyone on original Nuku thought they had a majority sub-alliance, 5 of the 9. So there was no reason to keep an original mana person around. And also no reason to go crazy, just take the easy vote. Now, we may scratch our heads a little at what changed regarding the stuff about not going crazy
right,
you know, between hour 1 and hour 2, but that could be a conversation for another day. For now, suffice it to say, I think everyone, or at least most everyone, wanted an easy out, and that's why they voted Haley out.
Right.
First.
I did notice that same thing in that Zeke confessional where basically the point that he sort of makes in that whole video is about how he doesn't want to shake anything up. It would be crazy for any of the Nuku to target the other original Nuku people. But then by the second hour, he is completely in a reversal of that position. But that's probably a interesting conversation to mark moving forward. But I do think it brings up another interesting idea of we have these 13 person merges. And I don't know if it's necessarily doing a lot for the gameplay. I wonder if it's too many people for the merge. If we take a look at the couple of seasons that we've had with these 13 people merges, we tend to have like one giant super nine person alliance, and then we have four people that are sort of out of the mix, and it makes for a not so interesting first vote after the merge. And you have Cass, who got voted out in Second Chance in this spot. Then you have going back to Millennials versus Gen X, where it was Michelle who got voted off in sort of a not so interesting vote. And then you have Haley here as well. And then it's just turned into something where it's just easy to just sort of pile up on, okay, whoever is the person that has the least connections, they go home.
Right, right. And like you said, it does take away from the gameplay because everyone's just holding back. It's, you know, it's kind of like we thought might happen early on when Jeff Probst, leading up to the season, said that he was surprised that they didn't immediately jump into the gameplay. It was like sharks circling each other. And that's what this reminds me of. It wasn't like everyone said, oh, my God, we've got to get rid of Haley. She's super dangerous. It was, we can get rid of Haley. We can get rid of her and not have to worry about ruffling any feathers.
Okay, then what about the strong person who did go home in Ozzy?
He is the prototypical merge boot due to his strength in the challenges. And so, you know, there's little question. Well, there's no question about whether he fit into this pattern. I think once he lost that immunity challenge while still showing how strong he was, it gave Debbie the perfect opportunity to spring into action there at that last minute. And it was hard for anyone in her sub-alliance to disagree too strenuously because it just made sense to get rid of him at this point. So he just fell right into the pattern there.
Okay, David. Then in terms of these appendices, we have do whatever it takes to look for idols. Ozzy, who's found some idols in the past, did not really go idol hunting this season.
We didn't see anything, and I don't recall hearing any interviews or reading any interviews that he really talked about it. Haley did go idol hunting back while Caleb was still in the game. Apparently the two of them went out and did a lot of idol hunting because they knew they were in a bad position. Another one of those things we didn't see because they didn't find anything. And of course, Sierra thought that Haley had an idol, but well, that didn't do her a whole heck of a lot of good.
And then the other appendix deals with the final tribal council, but probably not too relevant unless you have anything for them here.
No, we are starting to build the jury, but I don't think either of them was picked for jury duty because someone said, ooh, they would be a good person to have on there for me.
Okay, David. Putting things into the Bloomberg 9000 computer, why did Haley and Ozzy lose?
Well, there isn't a whole lot we can say about Haley. She seems to be a smart young woman with a lot of other things going for her, but Survivor just doesn't seem to be one of those things. She did astutely say in her interview with you that everyone on the show encounters bad luck. It's about how you traverse it. And those are wise words for Survivor, and similar to what I've said here on numerous occasions. So, you know, she's probably listening, but that's not something that Ozzy apparently paid attention to, because he traversed this game essentially the same way every time. Ozzy admitted after his first run in the game that he did too much fishing and not enough politicking, but here he was in try number four doing the same exact thing and saying in his final words that he thinks he overestimated his worth in that regard. Similarly, he just can't seem to fathom not trying his hardest at challenges. Until something changes in his mind, he can come back and play this game 100 times, and it's going to have the same result. I said at the beginning that there was some overlap in the reasons Haley and Ozzy were voted out. That overlap is that neither of them was successful in the most important rule of Survivor, strategy. Jeff Probst even said in one of the tribal councils this week that strategy is the most important aspect of the game. But Ozzy sat there for his fourth time in the game and still didn't really seem to get it. On the other side, I think Haley understood, she just couldn't put it into action. And that is why Haley and Ozzy lost.
Hey, David, at least you know that one of these days down the road, if Ozzy does go on to win the game, you and I can sit here and say, the game didn't change, Ozzy did.
That's right. That's right. He finally listened to us. He went back and read all the old articles and listened to the podcasts, and he said, oh, that's what's been missing.
Or maybe at that point we'll say, Ozzy didn't change. The game did.
Well, that's true. There could be so many twists that it's all based on challenges and fishing or fishing challenges.
Yeah. Okay. All right, David. So two survivors are gone. We're down to 11, and we'll see what happens next week as we get into why the next player lost. So let's start to turn ahead to next week, David. Do you have a prediction on how this is going to play out following this?
Well, you know, the new preview says that someone is going to have an inspirational moment in a challenge, apparently, and it will bring everyone together.
Hmm.
But I doubt it. I just don't see this group going all kumbaya on us just because of something like that. With the votes all shooting different ways last week, I think that some of the players are going to need to do some serious kissing up, and others are going to need to strategize heavily to pull themselves out of the hole that, you know, they themselves dug in some cases.
Okay.
Zeke seems to be in the most immediate danger. But we also see that Sarah may be approaching him with an opportunity. And he did say in a web confessional this week, he has an indestructible bond with Sarah. So, you know, maybe that's what he needs to help save him. The question is which side they take. Do they stick with Brad and Sierra, or do they flip back to Andrea and company? I mean, I can't imagine that Andrea will be too terribly interested in siding with him after what happened.
Well, does she want to go home? She's going to cut off her nose to spite her face here, David?
I don't know. She wanted to see him never. So.
And what did Jenna and Heidi say to me after I voted off Alex?
I don't
not
remember
nice
the exact words.
It was not, yes, not nice words. And you know what? They voted with me at the next vote to take out Christie so they could stay in the game. So things change. Rupert called out Russell Hance and talked about he's a villain. And then when Russell's like, I vote with you guys, then Rupert was 100% in his corner.
All right. Things change. You know, we're just going to have to see, especially since she was the one in the preview clip saying, basically, you have a lot of explaining to do. So maybe he can find a way to explain it all. I just think it's more likely that between her anger and the fact that Ozzy was just voted out, which may make it worse for her, you know, that she's the one who's in danger here. I said last week that I thought she might go right before or after Ozzy when you had brought her up and predicted her this week. And I do still think that, especially given the strength of her recent challenge performances. She has been doing the same thing that we saw Ozzy doing. She's either, well, she won one and then she did well in the other one. So people have got to be worried about her. So I think that she's going home.
That's a good pick. I myself was probably leaning more towards Suri or Zeke in this spot. But going back to the preseason stuff, I still remember that Debbie talked about, they asked her, who would you vote out first to Dalton Ross? And she had said to Dalton Ross, she wrote on her card, Andrea was the person that she would vote off first because it's not a Playboy shoot. Now tell that to Troy Zane.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
The best part of that was just how drunk Andrea was coming out of the water there.
So that was from the merch piece. I didn't even connect the two things. She said on Twitter that she was really drunk, real drunk during the merch feast.
Yeah, I think she either said it on Twitter or in the that people after show that she did. One of them, she said something about, I think I was still drunk when I was trying to walk out there.
That's funny. So. But you make a good point about her being a challenge threat. And if Debbie is not loving Andrea or has some like sort of axe to grind with Andrea coming into the season, that could be the next person that she's pointing to that they need to go home. And that side could say whatever. Zeke is definitely a candidate and Suri is a candidate as well. I wonder if there's friction between Sheriff Don Thomas and Suri. I'll say Suri. It will bring me no pleasure this week to be right, but I think that they probably have to look at her. If we're taking out the people with the biggest resume, all the legends have to go home. I think she is certainly next in that lineage.
Yeah, I'm going to hope that you're wrong there, too. I do like your new title of Sheriff Don Thomas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to hope you're wrong. And I don't know. I just feel like there's still more, you know, to get into Josh's territory here, story there with Suri and Michaela that we need to see first.
I hope so. I hope so. All right. So, David, in addition to all of the podcast coverage that we've done, and certainly a lot between the know-it-alls, the exit interviews, Tyson, I talked to Natalie Anderson this weekend, and Josh on the Wiggle Room before we got to this. Lots of blogs up on robhasawebsite.com. Scott Gallagher talked about the double episode with a bunch of video clips like he often does. Christian looks at all of the big moves and Debbie's ascension in the Survivor pecking order. Michael is going to be talking about the events from Ozzy's POV watching the episode from Ponderosa. And then Catherine is going to go back and take a look at Survivor Africa to look at a player who played too aggressively and lost the respect of others to sum up the merge episodes of Sheriffs and Soldiers.
Sheriffs and Soldiers. So Sheriff Don Thomas was already there.
Yeah. All right, David, what's the hashtag this week?
Well, I think, you know, that new rule number 8 that we came up with, stop fishing.
Hashtag stop fishing. There you go. All right, David. So looking forward to getting back into it next week. And of course, you could follow David Bloomberg on Twitter. He is at David Bloomberg. We've got still news AF to come before we get back to Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Wednesday night. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.